Noah, in the Bible, was a great financier. Why would Noah be a great financier? He floated his stock while everyone else was in liquidation. Today I want to look at some life principles. Last month we were, in our messages, we were looking at the first two Sundays to enter into God's rest. To therefore remains a rest for the people of God, found in Hebrews chapter 4. And that God would have you and I to enter into a rest. That's not a rest of just sitting around doing nothing. That is a rest of being active spiritually, of pushing into the things of God. There's a rest in the promises of God. There's a rest and cease from striving in the area of to receive healing or to receive whatever. Enter into a rest and begin to proclaim God's promises for your life. That is a rest. That is something that God does. That is something that God has done as you enter into the rest that He has for you and I. And what I'm looking at this morning also touches on a little bit on the rest and casting our cares on Jesus. And so we're going to look at Psalm 37 today, some life principles that David teaches from that psalm. Who knows that David went through horrific things in his life? I was looking at somewhere that David had, where'd I write it? 55 times he talks of trouble in the Psalms. 106 times he speaks about his enemies. He's hunted from cave to cave. The pressures are huge. Then David, under all that pressure, wrote many of the Psalms, and some of them is in a very, very dark place. And then towards the end of the Psalm, David comes out rejoicing, praising, and magnifying God. And I don't know about you, but we are living in a day where there are great pressures, where there is an enemy, where things are happening, where sometimes it seems like it's so dark and so dark in the valley, would there be any way out? A great preacher one day was driving down the road and there's a little bit of a wobble there, and a policeman behind him pulled him over and stopped him and said, "Excuse me, sir, what are you drinking?" He said, "Oh, it's just water. Can I have a look?" And he smelled his head. "Well, it smells like wine to me." He said, "Well, Jesus has done it again." Colin said, "Don't tell that one in church. It's not good." But he turned the water into wine. Anyway, Psalm 37, and starting from verse 3, there's some principles here that I want to look at from David teaching and in this psalm. He starts off with the word, or he starts off verse 1 and 2, he says, "Do not fret because of evil doers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, they will soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herbs." So God's saying, don't worry about if the evil are more blessed. Don't worry about if the unrighteous get more than you get, or have got more than you get, or more blessed than you are. God said, don't worry about them. Don't fret over them. Don't be anxious about them, because their day will come cut off like grass. And he's starting there. And then because David would talk about that, because he has been hunted, he is under huge pressure, he is under great opposition. So he says in verse 3, trust in the Lord. There's many things that we can trust in, but he says, trust in the Lord. Did David have the Holy Spirit? He must have. He prayed one day, "Take not the Holy Ghost from me." Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Yes, he had the Holy Spirit. Did he have it? The Holy Ghost would have been different to how you and I today are full of the Holy Spirit that will never leave us nor forsake us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost would come on a prophet, would come into a situation and would cause something to happen and would lift again. The Holy Ghost is in you and I. We are endued with power from on high. We're not waiting to be endued with power from on high. We already are. And that's one of the reasons we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because Acts 1:8 says, you shall be endued from power from on high after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Too many people, or God's people, have been cheated out of a baptism of fire by some deceptive lie or something that it's not today, it's of the devil, it's that, it's this, it's something else. The Holy Ghost is on earth. The Holy Spirit is in the temple of our being. The Holy Ghost will whisper in your ear. The Holy Ghost will bring you great counsel. The Holy Ghost will be your great comforter. The Holy Ghost will illuminate the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will bring you closer to Jesus. What benefits can I sell to you today to want the Holy Spirit? But you're going to have to want. I've heard people say, well, if God wants to baptize me, he'll do it. Does God desire that everyone should be saved, that none should perish? Will everyone be saved? Because everyone don't want to be saved. But the ones who do, the ones who are genuine, the ones who would seek after, the ones who would desire. Do you desire to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do you desire for the river to flow out of your innermost being? Do you desire to speak in other tongues? Because Corinthians says, he who prays in another tongue doesn't pray to man but God. Are you interested in talking to God? Is anyone interested in going further for God this year than you went last year? Pushing into the depths of God. Going higher, further, deeper, longer, wider, whatever it may be. Friend, there's a rest, but in that rest, we go right into the things of God. So he says, trust in riches. Trust in horses. Trust in your chariot. Praise God, we don't have chariots. Trust in the Lord. That's where our trust is. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord and always acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord. Trust. You know that when I talked about rest, resting is one of the most difficult commandments in the Bible. Resting is one of the most difficult commandments in the Bible, especially when it seems like nothing is happening. When nothing is happening, it's just hard to like, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm just going to let this go. I'm going to believe you've got it. I'm going to believe that you've just got it here, Lord. And that is a hard thing to do because we want to help God. We want to do something. We want to, and because we want to be able to help God out. God is interested in your situation. Has anyone been thinking about how you might rest more in the Lord? Has anyone has a plan about how you might rest more in the Lord? Yeah, stop being anxious. Be anxious for nothing. You see, if we don't think about these things, don't spend time, don't apply them, don't put them into practice, friend, this year is going to be gone, and we're going to be into 2021. 1 month's already gone. Haven't had time to scratch myself. Yeah. 11 months left. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. That's going. So it says here, trust in the Lord and do good. What's it mean to do good? Do good. Do good to someone else. Do good to yourself. Out of that goodness, there's peace. Doing goodness in God is peace. Living in sin is turmoil. Having sin rule and dominate, there's no peace, there's turmoil, there's all sorts of heartache. But when you do good, there's peace. I can just go to bed, you know, little saying about, I don't know how that person could sleep at night. Do good. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. How good is that? So David's saying, well, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to do good. I'm going to dwell on the land and I'm going to feed on his faithfulness. Do good. Great peace will come from that. He who believes will enter into God's rest. I want to read this in the Passion Translation, this verse. It says here, 37:3, keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. Has anyone got a Passion Translation? It's a great little passage. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. How good is that? Did anyone go to bed last night wondering whether you'd wake up today? Did anyone stay awake to remember to keep breathing? You stay awake, I've got to stay awake because I've got to remember to breathe. No, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We can go to sleep and snore all night and rest and then wake up the next morning and say, praise God, I'm still on earth. I'm still here. A lot of people go to bed, never wake up, and they wake up in eternity. Yeah, I heard someone say, if you wake up dead, how would you wake up dead? Think about that. They woke up dead. Can you imagine that, Alan, waking up dead? It'd be funny. Anyway, we'll wake up either on earth, in heaven, or in hell. Either or. So we've got three little choices there. Let me go on. So then it goes into verse 4, talks about a word, delight. Delight. Delight is a feeling of great pleasure, enjoyment, happiness, glee, joy. Delight in the Lord. And I was thinking about delight. It says, does it say delight yourself also in the Lord? Yeah. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Has anyone got spiritual desires? He'll give them to you. You have spiritual desires, God will give them to you. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 14, desire to prophesy. Desire. Now, you're not going to prophesy if you don't desire. You're not going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, unless you desire. You're not going to have lunch today when you get home unless you desire. It's mainly desire. Desire. Delight yourself. If we stop trying to find joy and we simply spend more time with the source of joy, how good would that be? We're always trying to find joy. Everyone's trying to get happiness. They want to build bigger theme park rides, scarier rides, rides that'll scare the skin. Who would want to get on one of those? Just living for Christ sometimes enough to scare the skin off you. But they're going on a high ride, on a roller coaster, vomiting over the side and screaming. That's not joy. That's horrible. Poor person below you. That's awful. But if we stop seeking joy and seek the giver of joy, yeah, it's going to be something good. Delight. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Are these promises? Do you think that David knew what he's talking about? Because he would start delighting himself in the Lord, committing himself, loving on the Lord, desiring after the Lord. It says in verse 23 of 37, look at it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Do you know when David wrote this, he was old? How do I know David was old when he wrote this? He tells us, look at it. He says, 25, I have been young and now I'm old. So when David wrote this psalm, he was old. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Whew, that's good. I got saved when I was 27. I read that when I was 27. And now that I'm 73, I read it from the other side. Just like David. David said this, I've been young and now I'm old. Can anyone else say that? You've been young and now you're sort of a little bit older? You're young? Now you're just a little bit further down the road? I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for... How good, what a promise! I'm young, I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken by God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And verse 5, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So the first, number one is to trust. Number two is to delight. Number three is to commit. Commit. I wrote down somewhere the word commit. Commit means what it says. Commit. Commit in the Hebrew is to roll over your burden on the Lord. To commit in the Hebrew dialect is to roll over your burden on the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. There's committing your way. You're casting all your burdens on the Lord. Do we practice these things? Isn't it wonderful when we give counsel to somebody as they're going through the valley of despair? We give just wonderful counsel. And yet when we get there, we forgot it. The counsel we gave someone else. You should do this and this, and this would be the best thing for you to do and do that. But it's good, you know, if I criticize you, it's constructive. But if you criticize me, it's destructive. You follow that? If I criticize you, it's constructive. But if you criticize me, it's destructive. Commit. Commit. So Paul says, David says in the third thing, commit your way. Commit your way. Trust in Him. There's that trust from verse 3. And He is going to bring it to pass. Sometimes God comes at the midnight hour. Midnight. Turns. Has anyone ever noticed that? He's never early, but He's never late. Mary and Martha discover that when Lazarus died. They sent word to Jesus. What did he take, 3 more days? 3 more days to get there. And they said, Lord, if you'd been here, if only you'd been here, Lord, 3 days ago, he wouldn't have died. But God uses that demo. He used that to bring about his glory. God will use things to bring about his glory. It's not all about us. Sorry to burst your bubble. It's not just all about us. God will use circumstances, situations, people, things to bring about his glory, his righteousness, his truth. I should have stayed home today. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Hallelujah. It's good to live right and do good. Then in verse 7, he says here, and there's the rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Some people will say, well, I'm just resting in the Lord as an excuse to do nothing. It's not that at all. I just want to read verse 34 of the same chapter. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. Hallelujah. And then over in, up in 31, the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall lie. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. See, we take the word, and we apply the word, and we speak the word, and we meditate on the word, and we study the word. And the law of God is in our hearts, and none of our steps will slip. It's powerful, this book. Is it a book to be read every day? Every day. So, number one, trust. Number two, delight. Number three, commit. Number four, rest. Rest in the Lord. Oh, here it is. And wait anxiously. Wait impatiently. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. I just want to read these verses out of the Passion. Number two, I want to read the number four. I read number three about trusting. Number four, make God the utmost delight and pleasures of your life, and he will provide for you what you most desire. How good is that? Give God the right, in verse 5, give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust him along the way, you'll find he's pulled it off perfectly. You know that 90% of the things you worry about never happen? 90% of things you worry about never happen. You worry all week about going to the dentist and you can feel the pain and you're anxious and everyone else around you can feel the pain and everyone else around you is anxious. Everyone else uptight, you go to the dentist and you go and you sit in the chair and you've been anxious and worrying all week. And then the dentist says, let's have a look. He goes through and says, man, there's not a hole. I'm just going to give it a little clean and you can go. Man, I just worried all week. Everyone else around me went through hell. And you tell me I can just go? 90% of things you worry about never happen. So don't worry. God's grace comes through when you need it. When you need it. God's grace will come through just as he brings the big long needle to stick into your gums. God's grace will come through then. You don't need it a week before. You don't need an hour before. You just need it when you got to stick that into your gums and pray you don't hit a nerve. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Do not fret. The word fret was worry, and it means to worry so much that it eats away at you. That's what it means to fret. You worry so much, it eats away at you. Fret comes from an old English word, freton, F-R-E-T-O-N, means to devour like an animal. Freton. Don't fret. Don't worry. Fret will consume your thoughts. Don't fret. Don't get worked up. Has anyone ever fretted? I have. Anyone ever got worked up over your fretting? Me. Is this a good message for me? Me. Yeah. And then, in the fifth thing, in verse 8, he says, cease. That's what it starts with. I hope you'll look and read this when you get home and study it a bit more for yourself. Cease from anger and forget wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. There you go. How's that good advice? Oh, that's good teaching, Stuart. Yay, I'm glad I came to church today. So it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. That's what worry will do. Fretting will do, cause harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's what I talked about in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, about inheriting the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, for you little while, the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Woo! How good is that? What's it mean when a preacher shuts his Bible? Nothing. What's it mean he looks at his watch? Nothing. So there are some great principles that you could write down, those five or six, put them on your fridge, and at the end of the day, have a little look. How much did I worry today? How much fretting did I do? What are some of them? Let me just tell you. Ah, they're in my Bible. You got them? Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yes. So you could get a nice little sticky thing and put it on your fridge. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust. Did I delight in the Lord today? Did I commit my way to the Lord? Did I rest today? Did I cease? You know what rest means? To leave it in the hands of God. To leave it. I like looking at you because you help me. I look at some others and I think I'm just going to shut the Bible and go home. Angie. Anyway, if you put that little list on your fridge for this month, and every night look at that little list to say, how did I do in these areas? Would that be a good thing? Don loves homework. His wife would do it for him and he'll read it. Hallelujah. But the Bible is so powerful. with promises of freedom and liberty and love and grace and mercy and His goodness. Let's just close our eyes. The musos are going to come. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just sit there and ponder. You may be in turmoil today. You may have unsaved family and you're worrying about they're more blessed than you are. There may be some things you just need to rest in. There may be some things you need to just say, Lord, I'm just going to give this to you. Lord, I'm going to hop out from behind the driver's wheel and I'm going to be a passenger and I'm going to let you drive the vehicle of my life. Do you think he'd know how to do good at that? Oh, yes. Father, thank you today for every person. Thank you today for everyone here. Thank you for the life that we have in you, Lord. Because you promised it life and life abundance. I thank you, Father, that as a church we'll be a praising church, worshiping, magnifying, giving you honor, Lord, giving you the glory. I thank you, Father, this year we're going to great depths of worship, deeper into the river of your blessings and love. God is not a killjoy. He wants to bless you. He wants to open the windows up over your life and pour out a blessing like you've never known. That's his heart. So give him something to work with. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Give him your cares and anxieties. Give it all to the Lord. If he says, cast your cares on me for I care, it means just cast them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everyone here today. I pray blessing. Blessing on your life. Blessing on your home. Blessing on your marriage. Blessing on your children, your grandchildren. Blessing on your business. Blessing on all that you lay your hand to do should be blessed. Deuteronomy 28, bless when you go out, bless when you come in. Bless when you lay down, bless when you get up. Just blessed. Doing good, living right, living free. Therefore remains a rest for the people of God. What are we singing?
I might sing, I Stand Amazed.
Whatever. Whatever you do will be good. Can we stand, please? I want to open up the altar for people who need the baptism of the Holy Spirit.